We invite you to open up in Scripture with me for the preparation of our hearts for what I hope will be a very meaningful Lord's Supper today. A Lord's Supper that might bring us closer to Christ than we've ever been. And I think when you see Jesus in this passage from Mark chapter 14, you're going to see a Jesus who is suffering. A Jesus who is under duress. A Jesus that we're not used to seeing in Scripture. This Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this Jesus is getting a foretaste of what his death is going to require. And it breaks him. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be greatly distressed. This word is, in Greek, the most intense word he could have used to describe the condition of our Savior. The word means to be horrified. To be horrified. Greatly distressed. Astonished. This is not a Jesus that we're used to seeing, is it? We're used to seeing a Jesus who's in control. We're used to seeing a Jesus who's in command. We're used to seeing a Jesus who stands up and speaks to the wind and the waves, and they die down immediately because he is the Son of God. But in Gethsemane, he's the suffering servant. The word troubled, which follows greatly distressed, means to be sick to your stomach. We've experienced that at different times in our lives. It was something so shocking, so horrifying, that it affected him physically, like he was ready to throw up. And he said to them, to these three disciples, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." The sorrow of the Savior. Because he is under great distress, because he is troubled, because he is sorrowful even unto death, we see a Savior who is overwhelmed with what is about to take place. And here's what's so shocking. It's my sin and your sin that made him this way. It grieves my heart. I've been under the weight of this passage, and it's heavy. That's why Paul said, you don't come to the table and take it lightly. Today's a very holy moment for our church, a very sacred time with our Savior. And I remember being taught and singing the song, "It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished." My sin made him greatly distressed. My sin made him troubled. My sin made his soul ache with sorrow, even to death. And he asked his disciples, "Remain here and watch." And going a little Father, he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. God, is there any other way? Is there any other possibility? The realness and the rawness of that. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. For just a moment, I want us to reflect before we observe the Lord's Supper together. Why would Jesus ask and make such a request? Remove this cup from me. What did he see inside that cup that made him say such a thing? What was in that cup that was so horrifying to Christ that he would cry out to his Father, if possible, take the cup? Well, one thing that we know was in there was our sin. Every sin, past, present, and future, was laid on him at the cross. We also know in that cup was our rebellion, our hatred, our enmity toward God, the way we shook our fists in anger at him and said to him, we don't want him, we don't need him. All of that was on Christ at the cross. Our condemnation because of our sin was on him at the cross. Our separation from him was on him at the cross. There was so much weight and so much burden on him that he shuddered at the thought of that coming upon him. The wrath of God must be satisfied, or God is not holy and God is not just. The righteousness of God must be satisfied, or God is not holy and God is not just. There is no other way. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus was not afraid of physical death. Over and over, he told his disciples, he prepared his disciples, the Son of Man is going to go up to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify him and beat him. And 3 days later, he's going to rise from the grave. He had been predicting that. But he saw something in the cup much worse than physical death. That was what he saw from our perspective, humanity. But imagine what he sees from the divine perspective. He sees the wrath of God. He sees the wrath of God about to be poured out upon him. And no wonder it says he was greatly distressed and troubled and sorrowful, because he was anticipating the wrath of God being poured out upon him. He was about to drink dry the cup of the wrath of God. And it overwhelmed him. Not only God's wrath, but God's judgment. He was judged for our sins, and the judgment of sin is death. So much more than just physical pain, but this spiritual bearing of God's wrath, of God's judgment, of God's condemnation. And if you come under God's wrath and God's judgment and God's condemnation, all of those together would cause you to be separated from God. Think about this. Never a time in pre-existent eternity that Jesus was ever separated from the fellowship of the Heavenly Father. Our sin taken upon Him caused Him to experience separation from God. Folks, this is hell for our Savior. He looked into that cup and He saw hell. And He cried out from the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? The forsakenness, the aloneness. Never before had the Son of God ever been separated from the love of the Father. And on the cross, He was abandoned. And our sin did that to Him. Our sin caused our Savior to be separated, to be abandoned, to be treated as sin. We're forgiven because He was forsaken. We're accepted because He was condemned. In the Old Testament, the cup symbolizes a metaphor for the wrath of God being poured out on human evil. Under the weight of sin's curse, under the burden of sin's penalty, under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God, under the condemnation of God, do you now begin to see why He's in the condition He's in? He is seeing that. He is sensing that. He foretastes a foretaste of that. And I just read this and I just have to be transparent. I can't wrap my mind around it. My imagination fails me when I think about the garden. What it must have been like for our Savior. And even though I can't wrap my mind around it, and even though I cannot make sense of it, and even though my imagination fails me, it's true, and therefore I worship Him for what He did for us. Now you will notice the contrast, if you will, using a little biblical theology. Jesus is in a garden. The last time Adam was in a garden, bad things happened. Adam sinned against God. In fact, Adam said, "My will be done," in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus in Gethsemane, as the second and greater Adam, says, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." Adam failed in the garden because of his pride. Jesus succeeds in the garden because of His brokenness and humility. Jesus is a son of obedience. Adam, a son of disobedience. As we prepare our hearts, I just want to remind you that Paul warned us not to take of the cup and the bread in an unworthy manner. The unworthy manner would be without recognizing the blood and the body of Christ. And the people who would do that today would be people who don't know Christ. People who are not saved, people who have never repented of their sins and turned and put their faith in Jesus Christ and then were baptized to show that they belong to Christ and they stand with Christ. So let me just encourage you, young parents with young children, if you have a young child with you today and they've yet to profess Christ as their Lord and Savior, yet to be baptized, withhold the Lord's Supper from them as it comes by today. and then have a wonderful conversation this afternoon explaining the glory of the gospel and repentance and faith. If you're here and you're not a believer, when that cup and plate come by, just allow it to pass. But if you're here and you're a believer, and when you listen to a song like The Power of the Cross, and you understand what it means for Christ to become sin for us, to take our curse, to take our shame, to take our guilt, then celebrate what the Lord has done for us today. Would you join me in prayer? Father, as we prepare our hearts with this wonderful song, The Power of the Cross, Father, what a great reminder that Christ became sin for us. He took the blame, He bore the wrath, and Father, He did it because He died to self in Gethsemane. Father, long before His body was crucified on Calvary, His soul was crucified in Gethsemane. It was there that where Adam failed in the garden, Christ now succeeds. Christ says what Adam should have said in the first place. And Father, when we take the Lord's Supper today, when we hold the bread and we hold the cup, could we not say in our hearts, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. And Father, as we bow our heads and as we prepare our hearts and as we reflect and as we confess our sin, as we reach out, seek out to You, Lord, as the Spirit moves us, as we listen to the words of this song, Father, would You do a great work in us to draw us closer to Calvary. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads and prepare our hearts. Yeah.
its maker bows his head, curtain torn in two.